Welcome to Collaboration is Queen, a New World Women production. I'm your host, Dawn Morningstar, one of three co-founders of New World Women. Sean Vougeot, Mecca Page, and I have collaborated to co-create New World Women, a women's organization that shares profits with women to reward them for expanding their consciousness and nurturing themselves. Our unique offering supports women's self-empowerment and economic sufficiency, and it emerged out of a respectful, inclusive, co-creative process based on collaboration at every turn. And fun. Yes, there was lots of fun. The three of us are often overheard saying, collaboration is queen. We invite you to welcome more collaboration into your life, knowing that you don't have to do it alone, whatever it is for you. Dust off your crown and enjoy. And always remember, collaboration is queen. So, Carol Hyder, welcome to our Birds of a Feather Together call. When you and I were talking earlier today, we discovered that this is your fourth year sharing this Chinese New Year wisdom with us in New World Women. So I think that makes you a New World Women tradition, and we are very grateful for that. So I've been blessed to have you in my life, Carol, since 1997, and I'm so happy that you are a New World Women founding mother luminary. And so your bio goes on for like a mile. So I am going to share some keynotes here. In addition to you being a kind, generous, and wonderful human, you are also a consultant, a teacher, a speaker, and an author of three books in the field of feng shui. I love that you combine ancient practices with modern research to create superior environments, both residentially and commercially. You've been a feng shui consultant since 1992, facilitating over 1,000 appointments from apartments to restaurants, homes, schools, and hospitals. And you founded the Wind and Water Center in 1998, which offered courses for those interested in studying feng shui in greater depth. As I said before, you've written three feng shui books, and you created two music CDs with Grammy-winning musician and producer Jeff Bova. So Carol, I'll ask you to unmute yourself and say a few words to everyone before you begin your teaching.
Thank you. Thank you, dear Dawn. Yes, we do go back centuries almost, don't we?
It feels like it.
Yeah. She's a good point person for me. So I'm delighted to be here. Every year, I'm guaranteed a position here every year because every year things change. So, you know, I'll be back hopefully next year. Mm-hmm. And it's what I find so interesting about this process is it's not aligned with our new year. The structure behind it is different than our new year. And it can certainly support what we do in terms of, you know, intentions and resolutions for the year. It's just that we do it a little bit later in the year than we would do January 1st. So,
yeah. All right. And also, before you begin, Carol, I wanted to let everyone know that you do have some additional information that's going to be sent out in the follow-up.
Yes. So
people don't have to feel like they have to take, they can take notes for sure, but you'll be sending some additional information. And also for everyone to know that Carol will be doing a more in-depth teaching in our New World Women Live once we launch. And that will be for those who subscribe to become a part of New World Women. So I have the great pleasure of knowing what your courses will be and your class topics. It's fascinating what you will be talking about. So I'm very thrilled about that. And I wanted to ask you, because I've had people ask me, what got Carol interested in feng shui in the beginning? Like why that? Because I know you've done so many wonderful things before.
I really didn't search it out. It kind of searched me out. I heard about it, and I was in a different business. I had a different business, and I heard somebody casually speak about it, and I, you know, went, where are the books on this, and what's happening? And this was in 91, 92, and there were no books. And there was a man from Taiwan, a Buddhist Lama, who was now living in Berkeley, and he was teaching feng shui. And I'm like, well, I'll go out and just see what he has to say. And he spoke no English, so there was all this interpretation going on. But it was groundbreaking, clearly. I figured it would just be something I would learn for myself. I would just take it home and learn for myself. And then I realized as I flew out there, I don't know how many times, trying to figure out why am I even doing this. But I realized that the Minneapolis-St. Paul area was kind of a hidden gem in terms of feng shui, because a lot of my colleagues were getting no interest whatsoever. And I was being pummeled with people saying, are you the one studying feng shui? Oh, I'd like you to come to my house. And I'm going, geez, you know, I don't really know a lot about this yet. But people in Chicago, in Des Moines, nobody was interested. So I decided to go with it. I figured, we'll see, flash in the pan, it'll die out. So here I am, like 32 years later, still waiting for the flash. But that's really what happened. It really took me. I didn't take it. It really took me down the road,
wow,
for which I'm very grateful.
And you learned Mandarin Chinese, which I find so fascinating that you did that. And have helped so many people along the way. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you. And thank you again for sharing this wisdom with
us. It's my pleasure. My pleasure. All right. So we'll just start kind of from the beginning. I'm going to step you through a few phases of this, and then kind of talk about what you can do about this new year. The Chinese have they celebrate two dates at the beginning of the year. One is the Lunar New Year, which moves. It goes by the new moon, and it's when they plant. They plant their crops. And so if it's a typical year, the Lunar New Year is sometime in January. As you can see this year, it's out of step. So think about that for a moment. The Solar New Year is always on February 4th. I actually think I saw something where it was actually February 5th, 1 minute into it. So we just say February 4th. And that's when a lot of celebrations go on. They usually combine the two, you know, the Lunar New Year and the Solar New Year, and it's just like 2 weeks of festivities. The fact that the Lunar New Year is after is really sort of an indication that something's a little out of step. And there's a lot of people think, oh, the dragon, it's going to be wonderful. It's kind of a buckle up year. The dragon's bringing in some strong energy, and the dragon has a different kind of feeling. I'll talk about here in just a second, from the east and the west. But that all said, it's bringing in a lot of energy. So the Chinese system combines two pieces of knowledge and wisdom. One is the 12 animals. There are 12 animals that go one year by year by year by year. So it takes obviously 12 years to get, you know, the 12 years ago we had a dragon, 12 years from now we'll have a dragon. But they combine it with one of the five Chinese elements. And what that gives us is a 60-year cycle. So 60, you know, 12 years ago we had a dragon year, but 60 years ago we had a dragon year that is combined with the wood, which is what we have this year. And so these years, you know, there's so many Chinese, Singapore people who look and watch these years that they can project, like, this is what happened 60 years ago. Look what could happen this year. So this is the dragon, and we're going to start with the dragon and talk a little bit about it. We have this feeling that the dragon is like a King Kong creature who could just destroy you. I mean, we have this fear around the dragon. If you have any old movies you've seen and the dragon comes out, you know, you're probably dead. But in the East, the dragon is a protector, and he's considered very much of a positive character. It's the only mythical animal, by the way, in their 12 animals. The rest are like farm animals, the sheep, the pig, the rat, the rabbit. We know all those animals. This is the only one that's mythical, which does add a certain perspective of magic, if you will. So the animal, the dragon in the East, in China, is, and especially in Hong Kong, is considered to live in the mountains. And a lot of it is because of their reptilian back kind of looks like mountains. And if any of you went to Hong Kong on a trip that we took some students on, this is a hotel in Hong Kong. There are mountains back here. They go all the way up. And in front of this is a bay, a water bay. And so probably just 20 years ago, a builder could not build anything unless a feng shui master signed off on it. I'm not sure that's still true, but then it was. And the feng shui person said, the dragon can't drink water. The dragon will die. So they built this hole in the hotel. And, you know, it's not an architectural statement. It's not an aesthetic statement. It's for the dragon. And so it has become quite well known for this piece. So it just shows the difference between how we perceive dragons and how they perceive dragons. They're thrilled it's the dragon year. That may be. And it's because of their history with it. There is a whole segment of even Asian people who said, yeah, wait, hang on, buckle up, as they say. Now, generally, the dragon represents all of these things. It's powerful, it's creative, it's moving forward, lots of luck, star of the arts. I'd never heard of star of the arts before, but, you know, all this artistic thing coming up. It's an earth animal, oddly enough. Usually people think it's a fire because it breathes fire. It's an earth animal, always was, always has been. And there's that protection, you know, that earthiness, that earth mother, you know, we like that. That's what the dragon is by its very nature. Now, remember, they take an animal and they pair it up with an element. And this year they're pairing it up with wood, and not just any kind of wood. It's yang wood, like really strong wood. So this is all about moving forward, moving on, fearless kind of activity. It also can bring a negative side to it. Yang wood, if somebody is really yang wood, they probably can run a company beautifully, but nobody likes them. You know, it's that they're real argumentative, and but they get things done. And so you kind of overlook the fact that they're irritable. But they, you know, they got vision, they're creative that way, but their people skills aren't that great. And this is what we're pairing the dragon with. Now, a little lesson in the five elements is that each of these elements relates to one another. And so, and you can kind of think about it like water grows wood. You need water to grow wood. Wood stokes the fire. Fire will enrich the earth because, you know, farmers will burn their fields to get the earth to be cleared out and enriched. And then earth produces metals. And then metal creates condensation. And so then we're back to the water thing. So this is a very communal kind of structure. One helps, the other helps. It's called the mother and child structure. However, this year we have the earth, which is the dragon. Dragon's the earth. And here we have wood. Now think about what happens when wood gets connected with the earth. Wood depletes it. You know, wood takes the nutrients out of it, takes all the, you know, some of the good, you know, you fertilize your earth so that the plants can grow. So what's happening here is the dragon is being held down. And we now have this wood thing happening. So what it's saying is that despite the fact we love the dragon, it's such a good animal, there is going to be conflict. It's written right here, conflict. There could be earth disasters, because the earth is going to be trying to fight back. Earth disasters like earthquakes, landslides, accidents on the road, accidents even in the air. And there's a loneliness to it, which is interesting. I never saw the star of the arts, and I never have seen this lonely star. So we love the dragon. The dragon's not going to be supported all that well. It's, you know, if we go back to this chart, if there were any fire here, fire would run interference, and this would be a really nice triumvirate of elements. But there is no fire. The dragon, believe it or not, has no fire. It has a tiny bit. It's a hidden element. It's not enough. It's not enough to combat the wood. So there's, you know, the wood is going to take the lead here. And it's a... It's unfortunate because the dragon could bring in money, financial things. It could bring in lots of good luck, and it's being held down. It's not to say there aren't going to be any good things at all, but it'll be a challenge. Now, how does this all apply to you? All right, so the animals all get together. There's these 12 animals, and there's all kinds of folklore about how they maneuver with one another. And so I put this up because you might want to know, maybe you know what animal you are, and you will determine that by what year when you were born. And then you can find your year and then go to the top of the pillar and the column, and that's your animal. However, if you were born before February 4th, you're actually a year older. So like, for instance, let's say you were born in 1965 in January. In 1965 is the year of the snake. You are not a snake. You go back a year, you're a dragon. Oh, you'd be a dragon this year. So that's the only caveat here, is if you were born in January up to February 3rd through February 3rd, you're a year older. I know we like to hear that, but, and so these animals relate to each other in a particular way. So this year we have the dragon. This is their little cycle of things. And the dragon has two other animals that it likes. One is the monkey, one is the rat this year. So if you're a monkey, oh, somebody's a monkey there. I see Sean jumping around. Are you a monkey? Is Sean a monkey?
I'm a rat.
Oh, you're a rat. Okay.
But all Dawn, right. Are you a monkey?
No, she's a rooster. She's a rooster. You wait. We're getting to roosters.
No, I'm monkey, Carol. Remember? Because I was
yes,
January
you are.
14th. I always thought I was rooster,
that's right.
But I'm actually monkey.
Yes, you are. So
I have a question. So wait. So you said something about January.
Yes.
So I'm January 21st. So okay. What in 83. So I'm not a pig. I always thought I was a pig.
Okay, let me look. No, you know what throws everybody off are those darn restaurant placemats.
Yes.
Because they don't tell you that. No, yeah. You're actually a dog.
Okay.
Yeah. We like okay. dogs. I'm a dog.
Yep.
We like dogs. Anyway, the monkey and the rat are going to have a really nice year. Now, you know, it's not like it's going to be, you know, you don't have to do anything, but there's wind beneath your wings on this one, and take advantage of it. And it's a nice year. This is a year like Dawn, you know, she's going to leap into starting, you know, another book and launching a new career in the Bahamas. This is the year for her to do that. Just throwing out some ideas, Dawn. And the same with a little rat. It's called a mouse here, but it's a rat. Opposite the dragon is the dog. Now here, I'm a dog. This is a challenge. We're challenged. Now, this doesn't mean you just don't do anything. This doesn't mean you cut back on, you know, plans. It just means let's just be a little on the side of caution. You know, like when you, if you travel, just double check stuff. You know, if you're going to start a project, don't be upset if it doesn't go well. You know, like there's a lot of hiccups. That could possibly happen. I've had some of my best years when in the dog year when I've been challenged. I have. So just to show you that you can really get around it, but go in with your eyes wide open. All right. The best animal to be right now is the rooster. And these are friends. You know, the dragon's really good friend is the rooster. The you know, the rabbit's really good friend is a dog. And, you know, these are how they come around with this chart. But the dragon and the rooster. And here's why that's important for all of us. We all should cover our bases and have some remnant of rooster around us, on us. And actually, I'm going to send you, Mecca's going to send you a printout of a little rooster you can cut out and you can carry in your purse, or you can put on your nightstand or put on your altar. It's a little graphic of a rooster. But I have a little rooster thing. You know, you can get little stone roosters. Somebody just sent me a card and it has a rooster on it. I mean, it can be anything like that. And what that does is that just reminds you that, you know, the dragon may be friendly to you, but the rooster runs interference. The rooster is the one who can, you know, it's like a triumvirate. If you have three friends, you know, in real life, you have three friends, and then something happens with one of them. A lot of times you go to the other friend and say, okay, I don't know what happened here, but can you, you know, can you just find out what, you know, what was going on that day? And so then that friend goes to the original friend and then it all gets sorted out. That's what the rooster's doing. Instead of going directly to the dragon, that can be confrontational. You know, if you carry around a dragon, if you are a dragon, this is the animal to not celebrate that affiliation, you know, like, if in the year of the dog and I'm a dog, it's like, yay, you know, dogs, they get along. Dragons do not get along with each other. And so if you are a dragon, it seems like, wouldn't that be advantageous? Not with the dragon. You really do have to back up a bit. And just, again, kind of like those who are challenged here, the dog, you want to just play it easy and kind of ease your way through the year. Yeah, dragons are fussy animals. Okay, now you may be saying, so how do I, is there some application of this in my space? I mean, after all, I do feng shui. And the answer is yes. So these animals also have directions attached to them. And this is called flying star. This is a flying star system. It tells you what parts of your space are going to be challenged and what parts aren't going to be challenged. And so this year, the Southeast is challenged, the South, the center of your space, and West. bottom line is you can add adjustments. You can, and you're going to get a copy of this as well. You can add adjustments. You can add metal in the southeast. You can add water in the south. You can add something red in the center. You can add, again, metal in the west. But these are not areas you should remodel in. You don't want to activate them. You want to keep them just quiet as you can. I do know, not many, but I do know people who will just close the door on a room that might be in one of these. They just close the door and they don't go in there very much. But if it's your office, you know, you sort of kind of got to go in there, or your bedroom, or your living room in any of these areas. The thing you don't want to do is say, oh, I think I'll remodel, because it activates it. It gets it, you know, stirred up. Keep it as quiet as you can, because these are challenging areas, these four. And so, like I say, MECO will be sending you what you can do in each of these areas. And these are traditional adjustments. Metal can be something metal, not necessarily this chain of coins. It doesn't have to look Asian. It can be just a metal sculpture. Metal is also white. Metal is also round. It'll all be in your handout. You can kind of just see what could you do there. And again, it should be subtle. You don't have to, like, you know, paint the center of your house red, unless you love it, unless you just go, this is so cool. But you could just have a red, you could just bring red flowers in. They could be silks. You could have a red rug for this year. These move every year. And most of us who do feng shui take the same adjustment. And next year, this two will be here, and we bring our metal adjustment here. The three will be here. We take our red adjustment, and we just move them around. We have four, and we move them around. You can do that if that's of interest to you. And in contrast to that, here's what they stand for. So two is sickness. Two is all about sickness. Seven's about scandals. Three is about robberies. And five is obstacles and a lot of misfortunes. so obviously we don't necessarily want to invite any of that in. But on the other hand, the other stars are good. And so the 9, the 1, the 6, the 8, these are all great stars. And these are the ones you want to activate. These are the ones you want to get into. These are the ones that, you know, spend time in, repaint, get a new sofa, get, you know, just do something in them to activate them. Number 1 is just the plain lucky star. 4 is not really known for anything. It's just good luck. 8's about prosperity. 6 is about success. And 9 is now taking on a whole new meaning this year for the next 20 years. And we're going to segue to that in a minute. And so this is, you know, this is an area, these are areas that, and you know, some of your houses may, you might say, I don't have anything in the Southwest. You know, my house just cuts back there. There's a missing piece. Well, then you don't correct for it because there's nothing there. But you could also do this in a room. Like if it's just too complicated to figure it out, you could do it in one room, figure out where Southeast and South and Southwest is located and put your adjustments in place, and then note what is really good here. Don't ignore those areas. Now, this year in 9, this 9, the Chinese have another system that is a 180-year system, and this has been going on for millennials. I mean, this has been going on forever. And it's 180 years. It's divided into 20-year segments. So there's 9 of them. This year, we have moved into 9. It's a big dang deal. I was doing this long enough. I remember when we moved from 7 to 8. Now we're moving to 9. This is a fire element. This is where people are mistaking, I don't know if they're mistaking, but they are talking like because a dragon is here, fire is here. That's not why the fire is here. Fire is here because of this time frame. So what does this mean exactly? This is this 20 year brings in activity. It brings in unpredictability. It brings in actually a little bit of financial growth, not a lot, but some. It brings in some changes. It's a powerful number, and people are kind of saying, hang on, because a lot of things about AI, and a lot of this has started. In fact, there's a theory that, because it isn't like February 4th, boom, 9. There's a theory that when Ukraine went to war, that was the start of 9, the 9 period. So it went back a couple of years, and I don't doubt that. And now we're in another war. This fire does bring in conflict, a lot of conflict. So, but I'll tell you something else it brings in. All right, technology, of course, space travel, confrontations, and women. This is the woman's time. Yep. This is probably why our New World Woman took so long to get its feet under it, because it is now time. And I'll tell you why this is. For those of you who have studied with me, you will know this, that the trigram for this period 9 is fire. And fire is made up of a strong yang line, a broken line, and a strong yang line. And according to Taoist theory, the trigram takes on a gender based on the one line, meaning that in this case, the yin line has to work really hard, and as a result, takes charge of that trigram. So it's female. It's a female trigram. It does represent fire, and it's in the middle, meaning middle-aged women will be rising to the top. Lot of predictions that the U.S. will have a woman vice president in the next 20 years, a woman president in the next 20 years. Maybe, you know, we could only hope for that. It's about women leading companies, women leading the charge on issues, women taking on higher government roles. The last year, it was the mountain where... let me see how this goes. Yeah, that was the mountain. And this line was a female line. And so there was one male line. So it became a male trigram. And it was the youngest one, the youngest male. And think about, you know, like 2008, all those young guys who took off with the dot-com businesses. And I mean, that was all in line with that kind of fever at that time. But now we're moving into the age of the women, and that is going to make a big difference for everybody. So I'm just going to do a little recap, and then we will have time to do a little blessing here. So we have the dragon, the monkey and the rat are its friends. The dog is challenged, and the rooster is going to be the go-between. We have the flying stars with their four challenging areas. But keep in mind, you have five that are not challenged, and you want to take advantage of that. And then we have the trigram of period 9 and what lies ahead for those of us who will be seeing this through, hopefully to the end. So... I think that this would be a good time, if anybody has any questions or wants some clarity, to do that, because we're going to do a meditation called Welcoming the Wealth Gods. And so before we do that, let's just be a good time to pause for a moment if anyone has any questions.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier about how it wasn't so good that, I'm sorry, it was the connection of wood and metal and how it would have been better if there were fire to balance it out. But then later on, when talking about period nine, you mentioned that we are entering a period of fire, and I was wondering how that fire interacts with, or maybe doesn't interact with, the other elements that you were talking about for this year.
Let me just say it again, and maybe this will get answered. So the two elements that come together this year is the dragon, which is earth, and the wood element. And so those two, one takes energy from the other one. The fact that this period year is fire, there is some conjecture that that's the fire the dragon needs. There is some conjecture about that, but truthfully, next year it's a different animal. It's a whole different animal and animal lineup. So this year there could well be some residual where that fire could help, but we got another issue now next year, because the relationship between the wood and the dragon is going to go, it's going to change. And next year the animal will be snake, and I think it'll be yin wood then. So we'll have some firewood going on there, which is again kind of a challenge. So they're sort of separate, really. You know, I understand what you're saying, and that's a good comment. It was well thought out. But it's sort of like this is happening over here, and then this is happening over here. And in terms of everyday life, what's happening between the dragon and the earth and the wood, rather, the earth dragon and the wood, is the one that's going to impact you the most. Yeah, because it's an everyday thing. This is a big umbrella over the whole 20 years. I don't know if that helps you. It is a little confusing. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Well, welcoming the wealth gods. you need to know one direction here. So think about it. Think about being in your house. And I want, you know, you can spend a, you know, a little bit of time here thinking about from your front door, where is the southwest? That's where the nine is right now. Like where is that? Oh, does Doreen have a hand up?
I do. I had just had a really quick question. You haven't seen my house because I live, you know, 8 million years away from everybody. But there's no place in our center other than the center is the center. So I've always had a crystal in this house in the center, and a very pretty crystal. This year I bought a red crystal. Is that going to be too strong to put in my center this year?
I'd try it. Okay. I'd try it. And here's what could be your barometer. If the proverbial hell breaks loose, it probably is. But I don't think so. If it's not real big, is it a small one?
Well, it's not that small. It's whatever, 20 or 30. No, it's like a 30, maybe. It's not huge, but it's not small.
No, it's not
small. And it just hangs there, and you don't even see it. I mean, it's hanging there now, and I walk through there a million times a day, and I don't even really see it any. It's just up there.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that so. I worry about it.
All right. Well, okay.
And you are so experienced in feng shui. If things started going haywire, you would know what to do.
I will know. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, I didn't have any other place to put something red. And I thought, well, I'll just replace that crystal. And then the crystal I had in the center, I put in my front entry.
Okay.
Which is like 2 feet big. Very different from my old house.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I want you to just get your bearings, like pretend for the moment before we close and we start this. I just want you to, so you don't have to be thinking too much, is if you walk out your front door, where's southwest? Just think about that. where, you know, and if you can't figure it out, don't not do this, but it, you know, this would be important because this is where the wealth gods would be coming from the Southwest. All right. So when we do a blessing in feng shui, we say, we do a chant and it's a chant. It's in Sanskrit. It's about traveling. It's about moving. It's about going to a different place. And so I'm going to start with that. I'll say that 9 times and then I'll get you to welcome the wealth gods. Just to give you a big picture, the wealth gods will come in. They're going to circle your house, inside your house, clockwise, and then you're going to release them, and they leave you blessings. Gate gate para gate para sungate bodhiswa. 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 So see yourself walking out of your front door and face the southwest direction as best you can. If it's behind your house, just face that way. And you send an intention that you want the wealth gods to come to you. Now, this could be one god. It could be a bevy of them. It could be no gods. It could be a light. It could be just a shimmering ball. And you see it coming toward you. And welcome it, you know, see yourself like holding your arms out and welcome, you know, bringing it in, inviting the wealth gods in, whatever form they may take, bring them into your home and get them inside, and then do a clockwise movement around your house. Go to the left, wherever your door is, go to the left. Don't go upstairs or downstairs. And the wealth gods are such that they can go right through walls, right through closets, right through the bathroom, and just have them circle around. And as they're doing that, they might be just leaving some light behind, or they might be sprinkling something, or they might be there might be some prayer that they're saying, or the one is saying, but just get it all the way to go all the way around to the back of the house, come around towards the front of the house, come around back up by the front door, and just be there with them for a moment. And now take them to the exact center, as best you can determine, of your space. Whether your space is a room, a home, an apartment, condo, it doesn't matter. Take them to where you consider the exact center. And let them open up the heaven channel and the earth channel to create a sacred hub in your space. And as you're standing there with them, with or the one or the light or the orb or whatever it is, just embrace what that means to have wealth brought into your life. What is that? Is that money? Is it health? Is it advantages? Is it travel? What is it that you would say, I've now been imbued with this beautiful idea of abundance, and how is that going to translate for me? And so take them, they're going to go back to where they came from. So take them out the front door. Sure, you thank them. Know that their blessings remain. That funnel in the middle is there, all to your advantage. You can bow to them. You can make a promise to them about something. And then see the wealth gods, or the wealth god, or the light go back to the southwest. And watch it to the very end, until there is no indication of them at all. So they just fade off into the sky, or into the skyline, or into the clouds. And so this is a time to think about what it is that they have, what they have unleashed for you for this year, Year of the Dragon. What is it you can manifest because of this wealth? And be grateful. And we end with Omani Padme Hum. Many of you may know this. Omani Padme Hum. 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 Omani Padme Hum is the lotus, the jewel in the lotus phrase, meaning a lotus has blossomed and the jewel is inside that flower. This is what we're all trying to do. So take a breath. This may be something you would want to journal about later, or think about, bring it up at some later date. But what does that wealth mean? You've just sprinkled your house with wealth. What's going to happen now? Xin Yin Kuai Le. Happy New Year.
Xin Yin Kuai Le.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we always hope for the best year ever in every single way, but I think there's some real value to knowing what's really, you know, possibly going to happen, so we can be prepared, right?
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, Carol. That was beautiful.
Please visit newworldwomen.com to learn more about our exciting collaboration and how it can support you and other women in your life. We would love to welcome you into our first founder circle, which you can explore on our site. If you like Collaboration is Queen, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. Thank you, and remember to keep your crown ready so women can collaborate to create a new world for themselves and for our world. A world of love, inclusion, collaboration, and abundance.